Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now, here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 70, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you today. Former Major League manager and MLB Network analyst, Bo Porter stops by. He'll give us some knowledge, insight on the Ohtani injury and more. Plus, the streaking Seattle Mariners will dig deep with their play-by-play television man, Dave Sims. All that, let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
What a bummer for baseball fans that Shohei Ohtani will not pitch anymore this season. He has a UCL tear. Still a question mark if they'll continue to play him as a hitter only. He was having a historic season, obviously. And then the question is, what do you do going on from here? You know, should he just pitch? Should he just hit? Should he continue to try to do both? He's a unicorn. There's all kinds of stuff. He's going to be a free agent. Would you sign him now that he has a pitching injury? Is he still worth $500 or $600 million? There's a lot of stuff out there. I'm going to tell you, A, he's going to get his money. Because they're going to believe he's 29 years old, what he's been able to do, and they'll make all that money back from Japan and those fans. I just don't think that money is the issue when you have a chance to sign a player of that magnitude. Now, the real question is, should he be Babe Ruth? Which is, Babe Ruth gave up his pitching and decided to just be a hitter. Should Shohei Ohtani just be a hitter? I think that's something really to think about, and think about him playing right field every day, not as a DH, because I think you get detached from the game. We've seen some great hitters not be nearly as good just DHing. Play him in right field. Let him be a part of the action every day. And I think there's a chance that he could be one of the best hitters in the game if he's just hitting. I know it's hard to give up the pitching aspect. Babe Ruth did it. Ohtani should do it too.
Number two.
The New York Yankees finally broke their 9-game losing streak. My God, I mean, the Yankees hadn't lost 9 games since, Moby Dick was a guppy. It's been forever, and we know Aaron Judge had 3 home runs Wednesday to help them get that monkey off their back. But let me tell you, the Yankees need to stop with the nameless and faceless players and get back to what helped them win those championships. And when they were dominant in the 90s and the early 2000s, they had star after star. The Yankees don't have that anymore. Yeah, they have Judge, and they have a couple other stars on the team, but not enough. Most of the players there just aren't that good. They really aren't. And they're nameless. They're faceless. One guy's left-handed. One guy's right-handed. You don't know who the guy is. And that's where the Yankees are. Penny pinching, not trying to go out and get the best players available. Yes, they signed Judge. They had no choice. Without him, I mean, it would be even worse. So my point is the Yankees need to rethink about who they are, how they used to win. And sure, you want to develop players. I'm not talking about going out and just signing any and everybody, but you can't shy away from stocking that lineup with some good, very good all-star players to surround Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge should have two other stars in that lineup with him, and he doesn't have it. And that's why the Yankee season, in the words of GM Brian Cashman, has been a disaster.
Number three.
I have some numbers and ideas I want to share with you on this Getting Robbed number three. And there's some interesting things in numbers. First, I'm going to talk about the Chicago Cubs and their second half run, which has been pretty incredible. The Cubs, are you ready for this? Coming into Thursday, the Cubs were 23-12 in the second half of the season, 6.1 runs a game, second in the NL Central, and second in the NL wild card. Think about it. The first half of the season, they were 42-47 and getting less than 5 runs a game, and they were seventh in the wild card. So they have really come on, and they are viable. So the Cubs are streaking, and a year where most people thought that the Cubs had no shot really at making the playoffs, they look like they're rolling and have a real good chance. Here's another thing I want to give you numbers-wise. Everybody knows Julio Rodriguez with the Mariners was the AL Player of the Week for August 14th through the 20th. And when you start to talk about players, young players, players 23 years old and younger, you would right away think, man, Julio is the best of the lot. I got news for you. How about these numbers? Okay, here we go for this season. Julio Rodriguez, 21 home runs, 798 OPS, 33 stolen bases. Can I tell you about Bobby Witt Jr. with Kansas City? 25 home runs, 816 OPS, and 37 stolen bases. So as great as Julio is, let's not leave out Bobby Witt Jr. He's been incredible. And there's one other number I want to give to you, and that was someone did on MLB Network, a comparison through the first 1,231 games, comparing the Mookie Betts from the Dodgers and Barry Bonds. And you won't believe this. Through the identical number of games, Mookie Betts has more hits, more home runs, more RBIs, more runs scored, and Bonds only beat him out in slugging, 528. Compared to Betts' 527, you're watching one of the all-time great players. Do not kid yourself when you're watching Mookie Betts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Now let's welcome into the podcast Bo Porter, former Major League manager. Of course, he managed the Houston Astros and now is an analyst for MLB.com. Bo, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Always, my man. I need your knowledge. Help me with Shohei Ohtani. My goodness gracious, he's injured. He's not going to pitch for the rest of the season. There's still a debate on whether he'll play and just hit. What a blow is this for Shohei, baseball, and for the Angels?
Yes, it's a major blow. I mean, when you look at Shohei and one, what he means to the game. I mean, he is arguably the biggest star in our game right now. And it's very unfortunate that this has happened. I go back to just the pre-trade deadline and the decision that the Angels made to hold on to Shohei Ohtani. Now, you don't want to see injury to any player, but there was a lot of question on whether or not they should have traded him. They should have not traded him. I was in the camp that, from a standpoint of looking at their organization, they had a chance to reset their organization. What a trade of Shohei Ohtani. There's no telling what that return could have bought for them. So when you look at the organization as a whole, I mean, this is not a good day, obviously, for the Angels organization. And you just hope that even when they get a second opinion or a third opinion, that he's able to one, get through this and be able to do the things that we've been so blessed to watch him, you know, compete and do each and every day, which is be a front of the rotation starter and one of the best hitters in our game.
I'm with you. I was in that camp. We're not playing, Monday morning quarterback and saying, I told you so now, but I was with you, Bo. He has a UCL tear now, and they were kidding themselves. They never had enough pitching to make a real playoff run, and Trout was hurt. You know, so when you added all those things together, the chances of you really making a run by keeping him didn't make any sense. And I know they won 7 in a row before the trade deadline, so people started feeling like maybe they got a run in them. But now they're left holding the bag, and you just said it. This is an organization that they won a World Series in 2002, and it's been a rocky road. They have Trout, who is one of the all-time great players as well, and they've been to the playoff one time, Bo. I mean, like, you as an organization, there's something wrong there.
Well, one of the points that I made a few months ago when we were on this very topic is you can go ahead and you can throw Rendon into the conversation with them having, you know, arguably three of the top players in our game when healthy. And when healthy is a major component. But even when you look at the numbers and all three of them healthy and in the lineup, they were still a sub 500 team. So for me, one of the hardest things for organizations to do is to face their own reality. And what happens is the emotion in the room went out. So I said this then, and I'll say it now. If you're able to remove the emotion and just look at it from a pure baseball standpoint, what is the best thing for our organization? It would have been to trade Ohtani, reset the organization, get a lot of the money that you have allocated off your books, and have an opportunity to develop a new young core group of players and now have payroll flexibility moving forward. You look at the Washington Nationals, it's a prime example. I mean, they traded Max Scherzer, they traded Trey Turner, they traded Juan Soto. I mean, you're talking about, you know, elite players in our game. But you know what they realize? One, we don't have a championship team anymore with these players. Or two, we offered Juan Soto the max contract that we were willing to pay. He did not want to accept it. So at that point, as an organization, we have to move on. And people look at the Nationals, and I said this last week on the network, the Nationals are the same organization that went all the way to the finish line with Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper ended up leaving via free agency, and he went to Philadelphia. Well, why were they in a position to make that decision? Well, because they had Juan Soto coming right behind them. So when you position your organization, you know, for long-term success, it's about creating what I call consistent championship windows. And the Anaheim Angels missed the opportunity to reset their organization to create a championship window.
Our guest here on Inside the Parker is Bo Porter, of course, former Major League manager and analyst now on MLB Network. The White Sox, very disappointing the last couple of years. So Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, both shown the door in Chicago. Kenny Williams, we know, won a World Series, putting together that team in 2005. We know about his history and his success. Rick Hahn, not as much success, you know, as the GM when he took over. What do you make of what happened there? Because it felt like a couple of years ago, maybe they had some pieces, but it never wound up being what the Cubs did when they rebuilt and had the framework of young players. What happened in Chicago?
Well, one, you know, when you never want to see anyone lose their jobs, especially Kenny Williams is a dear friend of mine. I know Rick Hahn as well. They were great executives in their own right during their time in Chicago. But I look at it at, like this. At some point, it reached a head, and they were not able to get that group of players to perform to their potential. Whether that, you know, falls on the manager, whether it falls on the general manager, the president of baseball operations, the owner has to look at the fact that we had a core group that we put together that we believe was a championship team, and they never reached their full potential. And the decision, it seemed like, was made that they're going to give a new executive the opportunity to start to reshape and hit the reset button with this organization. I actually agreed with the organization. I said this early on when they were talking about Kenny and Rick Hahn being fired earlier in the season. I didn't think it would have been wise of the organization because they needed to get through this trade deadline with that executive team because they know the players better than anybody else. So they're going to be in a better position to execute the trades that needed to take place. When you look at the timing of this now, I think it gives the owner the appropriate time that he's going to need to find who that next executive is. It also is going to give that next executive the opportunity to really look at what's left of this roster that was a part of the core group and figure out, one, who do you want to move forward with your next core group, and who do you trade from the pieces that they have right now? Because make no mistake about it, if you look at the individual pieces of the White Sox, one would tell you that this should be a good baseball team. But for whatever reason, they didn't play like a good baseball team. There were some questions about the makeup. There were some questions about the clubhouse. There have been other players that have come out and said different things about the culture there. So those are all things that will equal demise in any organization. So when you look at it, it costs these men their jobs, and It's one of those things where the organization had to take a hard look and say, can we continue on in this fashion? And when you look at the last few years of underachieving, it just did not make sense to the owner.
One last thing, Bo. The Yankees, they got a similar situation going on. Just ended a 9-game losing streak. The Yankees ended a 9-game losing streak since Moby Dick was a guppy. I mean, it's just been a long time. They don't lose like that. And you got to look at the front office. Brian Cashman's been there 25 years as an executive, which is incredible in baseball. I know people, it's easy to want to get rid of the manager and Aaron Boone. I get it. But you have to look at the front office. And both to me, the Yankees have become nameless and faceless other than maybe Judge and maybe another two or three players. I remember the days when the Yankees on their bench had guys like Daryl Strawberry, Tim Raines, and Charlie Hayes. They've gotten away from that, and there's a lot of nameless and faceless players. Do they need to get back to being star-studded and getting really good players? It seems like the Yankees have cut corners.
Well, I think the first thing that has to happen is reality has to set in. And the reality that we have with the New York Yankees is it's not a good baseball team. And you can have Aaron Judge, who is arguably one of the best players in the game, and I'm on record of saying this. The key to having a good baseball team is to stay away from sinkholes and bad players. So when you look at the Yankees in the sum of their parts, around the diamond, they just have too many below average players.
100%.
Is that on Aaron Boone? Is that on, you know, Brian Cashman? When you look at what the Yankees were able to do when they were successful, they were able to outslug their mistakes. When you look at the fact that they led Major League Baseball in home runs by a large margin, well, when you are hitting the ball out of the ballpark, now things like going first to third, in which I think they're 29th in baseball going first to third. When you think about going from second to home on a single, they're in the bottom three in baseball. They're in the bottom three in on-base percentage. They don't steal bases. So all of the things that help create offense, they're just not good at. They're non-athletic. So when you start to look at the roster in itself, yes, you can go and you can go buy more players. But who's to say when you buy all of those players, they're going to come together and make a good team? So for me, if I'm the New York Yankees, they have to go back to the drawing board, look at their farm system, look at how you draft, look at what you're trying to draft, and you got to get down to sheer development of players. And that development can't stop when they leave the minor leagues. They have to have coaches that are in the big leagues that can develop players even when they get to the big leagues.
All right. His name is Bo Porter. There's some information and knowledge for you right here on Inside the Parker. As always, Bo, we appreciate you, my man. Stay well.
Okay, brother. I appreciate you.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
The last week we saw from Julio Rodriguez might have actually been the hottest we've ever seen anybody at the plate in our lifetimes, unless, of course, you preceded the Roaring Twenties. Over the seven games against KC and Houston, Julio hit .568 with two home runs, 12 RBI, six steals, and four doubles. But it was the way he did it that turned heads. Julio set a big league record with 17 hits over a four-game span, becoming only the second player ever with four or more hits in four straight, joining the inimitable Milt Stock for the 1925 Brooklyn Robins. His 18 hits over a five-game span was one shy of the record set by Jimmy Johnston for those 1923 Robins. He was the first player with 20 hits in a seven-game span since David Fletcher in 2021 and the first Mariner since Ichiro in 2004. Just the third AL player with 20 hits and 10 RBI in a seven-game span this century and the only one ever with 20 hits and five steals in a seven-game stretch. He was the only player since RBI became an official stat in 1920 to have 20 hits, 10 RBI, and 5 stolen bases in a 7-game span. And unofficially, he was the first player to reach those marks in a 7-game span since the Georgia Peach Ty Cobb did, spanning the end of the 1907 campaign and the beginning of 1908. RBI before 1920 can be fickle business, of course. He raised his average 22 points and his OPS 47 points, and that's already with 500-plus plate appearances under his belt this season, an unheard-of increase this late in the year. He's led the Mariners to the best record in the AL in the second half and could potentially lead them to the AL West crown when they were 10 games back on July 19th.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. and you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast one of my favorite people, one of the best baseball play-by-play men out there, exciting, fun to listen to and watch on television, Dave Sims from the Seattle Mariners. Dave, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Good to be with you, Rob. How you doing, man?
Always great. My goodness, here we go again. Last year, the Mariners came charging, and this year they're charging again. So coming into Thursday, they've won 8 of their last 10. They have a homestand starting on Friday. A couple of, I hate to say cupcakes, but easier teams that are coming into Seattle. Just tell me about what's working with this Mariners team, and this feels like last year.
Well, it might be a little bit better than last year because the hitting has really stepped up significantly. I mean, the pitching has carried the ball club for most of the year. Starters, the bullpen. They did trade Paul Sewald, the closer, and they're still trying to, you know, guys are still trying to get more comfortable. Brash and Munoz in the closer role. That hasn't become rock solid yet, but it's been really good. But the biggest thing is the hitting, and the hitting contributions from 6 through 9 in the batting order has been outstanding, particularly on this last road trip. I mean, cats are hitting the ball out of the yard or get big knocks, and the top of the order has been doing its fair share. So it's been a lot of fun, man. The young starters have been good. Luis Castillo lives up to his name, The Rock. I think that's the biggest thing, the offense coming to the fore, because the last 2 years the pitching's been strong.
Let's talk about Julio Rodriguez, the AL Player of the Week for August 14th through the 20th. Numbers 568 in 7 games, 6 home runs, and OPS 1.417. He's been balling, my goodness gracious. And he's only 23 years old. He's scary.
Yeah, he drove in a run in the game yesterday, getting hit by a pitch with the bases loaded. But he missed, let's see, he had a day off Monday. And a stomach issue Tuesday, and he played yesterday. He got a base hit, a hard hit to right. I think the biggest thing when he's so excitable sometimes, and when he's trying to get himself out of a slump, he overswings. But during that stretch that you just ran, just coordinated, on time, good swing decisions, in rhythm, and he said I'm going back to being me. And during that stretch where he had the 17 hits, I think it was he had 9 consecutive hits at one point, and I think he was on base 10 times. I mean, it was just 10 consecutive times. So it was just crazy, fantastic, athletic, strong, hitting the ball hard. And he had been getting jammed a lot because of that overswing, and he was hitting weak ground balls to the right side. Now he's hitting bullets right side. And he started hitting the ball out of the yard too. And there's a number – it's changed, but it was a number there in his career when he had at least one hit. The Mariners are playing something like 750 ball.
Wow.
And the flip side, they're playing 350 ball when he didn't get a hit. So that's how much he meant to the ball club.
Talk to me about George Kirby. I mean, I saw a stat where he has the best strikeout to based on ball wall in the modern era for a single season for a player younger than 25, 25 or younger. And I mean, the name on there that jumped out to me was Walter Johnson. He said he's on that list. And here's George Kirby with a 9.50 in the 2020. What is, tell me, give me the scouting report. What does he have?
New York guy. I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. I got a fastball. I'm not going to walk it. He went into yesterday's game doing something that no rookie had done. I think it was game 49, and he had not walked 50 guys in a this season. And for a guy in his second year, I mean, it was like an all-time mark. He's about to set an all-time mark by the time he gets to a certain point. I mean, it was so – they find me stats, but the point being, he doesn't walk anybody. He's very efficient. He had one hiccup yesterday. Gives up a home run. I think it was Benintendi got him. And he has an ability to bounce back. If he does have a quote-unquote clunker, he comes back strong the next day. I mean, he's got – and I'll never forget the game he pitched against the Yankees, man. He had a bad outing before, and he came out and pitched eight shutout innings. I think one hit against the Yankees. 9-10 strikeouts, no walks. So he's a real deal. So, I mean, when you – as Mariners, you look ahead. Playoffs, you got Castillo as the lead dog. You got Kirby. You got the Bryce Miller kid. You got Logan Gilbert. I mean, we got some pitching, man. We got some starters. And
you need that in the playoffs, Dave. You know, you can have all the hitting in the world. If you don't have pitching, you're not winning in the playoffs.
Bingo. And the other thing, too, that's good about that crew is that they can get deep. They can go, short net game. They can go seven innings, and then you got six outs to get.
Our guest is Dave Sims, the television play-by-play man for the Seattle Mariners. Does a great job. I get goosebumps last year. I remember listening to your call. When they made
the rally call.
Yeah, just an awesome call, Dave. It was awesome. But let me ask you this: can they? What's their ceiling? How good is this team? Seattle. I mean, this will be the second year. Like, can they win a World Series? Can they get into the ALCS? Well, how good are they?
Well, I tell you, they have played so well lately since July 1 that for the longest time, we were just talking about, hey, let's just make the playoffs. If you check your standings, we went into yesterday's game, a game out behind Texas. And we were right on the heels of second place Houston. So, and here's the other thing. The last 10 games, we've got, what is it? We've got three at Texas, come home, three for Houston, and finish with four with Texas. Mm. If they were within shouting distance coming into that last week, it's going to be determined in that final week. And we're talking about making a playoffs. We're talking about winning the division. We're talking about maybe making being the second seed. So – It's boding well. Just got to stay healthy. I think that's always the caveat, man. You got to stay healthy, and you hope the production. You can't expect the guys to be playing 900 ball coming down the stretch. But if they play, 700 ball, 650 ball, win series coming down the stretch, they got a shot. And a schedule. There's a big series against the Dodgers at home, as well as those series against the two Texas teams. So. There's some tough schedules coming up, tough series coming up.
His name is Dave Sims. Dave, always a pleasure, my man. Thank you for filling us in on the Mariners and their charge, second half charge we're getting used to the last couple of years. Thank you, my man. Enjoy the ride here on out.
Oh, believe me, I got them all buckled in and ready to go, man. Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, appreciate it, Dave.
Anytime.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 155 why Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL, all we have to do is look in Flushing, New York. Look at Citi Field. Look at the New York Metropolitans and the announcement on Thursday that the Mets will retire. Very popular Mets. Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry's numbers in separate ceremonies that will happen in the 2024 season at Citi Field. if you were in New York or you know anything about the Mets, those guys transformed that franchise from an also-ran into must-see TV. Daryl Strawberry with his unbelievable home runs, the beautiful left-handed swing, and Dwight Gooden, of course, a Cy Young Award winner, a guy who had an unbelievable heater and curveball. But these are the kind of players that fans latch on to and hold on to forever. You know, sure, in the other sports, there are favorite players, but there are eras, and there's something about baseball. You get to know the players a little bit more. They play so many games. You watch them for so much longer than you do one football game a week in football or NBA. Baseball is 6 months strong with these players you get to know and love. And that's what makes the game great.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.